Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
These trumpet presentations aren't over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You know, long you're a salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
Oh no! We suck again.
I told you guys Mondays are tough for me. We're not going to talk about one part of that for a while, Sundays.
Hey, Europe just chipped in.
Yeah. Hey, we decided to go for it on 4th and 1. But it is Monday, and our guy Jay Layman is here.
Let's go.
Hey, Jordan. Through thick and thin.
Jordan Spieth just missed an 8-footer.
Jay is here. Oh, Saturday was tough, guys.
David Ross still has a job.
Yep.
Ollie Marmol still has a job. Jay and I figured out the one positive that happened this weekend is Adam Wainwright got a dog from the Cardinals.
And I said, if that is your if that is your highlight, that just shows you how bad the dumpster fire was.
Man.
For all of our teams.
Man.
Every sport, like the entire landscape of sports for people in our area just were absolute
brutal.
It brooded.
Just implosion.
Was that me or you?
People
are texting in right now or whatever they're doing, saying, what the? Jay, I mean, I'll just say this and I'll let you go. I kind of interrupted Derek.
It's the drive of Payne Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5.
The most honest hour in all of college football. You're about ready to listen to it right now, amen. So tune in.
And we got to get to your sponsors, but I want to ask you this. I think that game was the uh-oh moment for me because Toledo. Well, they're a good team, and I've been arguing that since, and I think they are. Kansas, we know, is a pretty good team. We know that Penn State is a really good team. And then when Florida Atlantic came in, you're like, well, we did a lot of things right. We just couldn't really put them away, and we won the game, right? That game against Purdue, that was my, oh, crap, are we back to where we were?
Yeah, you know, it's like the one time my sister had a bad boyfriend, and like she would like justify, like, oh, you know that.
I didn't know you had a sister.
Oh yeah, one
sister.
I thought
it was just brothers.
Oh, she's gonna hate me for telling this story. No, you know, but you know, nobody liked
the dude's name.
Nobody liked the guy. It's not her husband now. Nobody liked the guy, but there's always justifications in a break. Well, like he does. He's got some. Yeah, I mean, he's got some warts, but like. He does this and he does that.
He's really nice to her.
He's really nice and he's good looking. And well, he played soccer. That was against him. But okay, no, just,
yeah, that's like blue.
Okay, so that's kind of like what being an Illinois football fan it was the last 4 weeks. It's like, yeah, but Toledo's really good. I mean, Daquan Finn. I mean, that dude could start on half the Big Ten teams. Oh yeah, but Kansas dude, Leipold, that dude's legit coach. Sure is the legit coach. It's Kansas.
Yes.
We're talking about Kansas.
You're right.
Okay, yeah. Penn State. Yeah, we beat Penn State 2 years ago when they were number 7, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then Florida Atlantic, there was just, there's just little things we gotta clean
up.
Yeah. So then we go play a 1-3 Purdue team in the first year of a new head coach who was the assistant coach for us last year. Mm. And we got beat by 25 points. Guys, the third quarter was the worst ball I've seen Illinois play in a couple years. I don't think Brett Bielema used to losing games like this in the Big Ten. He lost against Wisconsin 2 years ago pretty bad.
Yes.
But since then, we have not had that in the Big Ten, and it did not feel good.
Jay, you call this the most honest hour of college football out there, and I agree with it, but to do that, I have to say this. This team stinks.
They're a four-win team, maybe, right now.
I'm with you, Pipes. I didn't want to believe that. I did not want to believe that. I mean, I did not want to believe that they're not a 7-1 team.
You didn't want to break up with the girlfriend.
Right.
You wanted to justify, keep the benefits, and lose everything else. You, that was the problem.
It's bad, and it's scary on the lines, which is what I thought would be a strength.
That's over. We can't sit here another week and say Illinois should be able to control the line of scrimmage against anybody left on their schedule. It's not
– nobody.
It's not a thing anymore. It's gone. Mm-hmm. Doesn't exist.
And controlling the line of scrimmage comes down to this. You look at the top third of the Big Ten teams. They're going to be able to run the ball and stop the run. The middle third's going to be able to do one or the other.
Right.
The bottom third's going to do neither. We can do neither consistently. And I would say this. Our lines are our weakest point. Our offensive line has been our weakest point thus far.
Yeah.
Of all the position groups.
I agree.
I know Zy Crisler's been banged up. I know Geske got banged up. I know Isaiah Adams had to move. I don't care what's going on. Other teams have injuries too. We got to figure out the offensive line. And I don't know if it's this. I've been thinking about this at night. So I'm laying in my bed. Not my water bed. My dad used to love water beds back in the day.
The water
Give
bed.
Give me a holler if you had a water bed.
My college roommate had a water bed.
I was like, dude.
He was always fiddling with it. There was always issues.
You were booming in business back then. Until I was so sidetrack here. So I was forbidden as a kid to have any kind of pins near my bed.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because the pin could fall into this big, water balloon kind of thing, and it would pop, and you'd wake up, and you thought you wet yourself, but there was no smell. You were just wet. That was the waterbed.
And all the way to the bottom.
And guys, they all went out of business. I asked my dad, why'd you like it? So it was just like, they're the cheapest beds around back then.
They were.
It was just a big tank. You filled up, you brought the hose in the house and everything. It's just so weird. Anyway, I don't know how that came out. I was lying in bed, though, in a real mattress bed on Saturday night. I'm like, was Chase Brown that good that he erased a bunch of our offensive line?
Whoa, I was about ready to ask you that question.
We're thinking the same thing. Yep. He made our offensive line think they were a lot better because he could make one or two guys miss, and DeVito got the ball out quick.
He did.
Right? And now we knocked him because he couldn't throw downfield. It was all RPO. But the guy moved the ball, okay? And number two, were our defensive backs just that good that nobody could throw the football on him? And so we got a bunch of sacks or picks? I'm just trying to put it all together now because something's missing. And like you said, Pipes, not a very good team. I think your word was stinks. I have them as a 4-win team right now. I think it's a toss-up between Northwestern. I think they'll be favored against Indiana. I obviously favored against Nebraska. Hard to believe Nebraska's bad. But 4 wins the way they're playing right now doesn't mean they can't change and win more games. But from what I've seen so far, they're a 4-win football team.
Jay, I think there's a lot of big picture stuff that I want to be able to hit on with you as we go through this hour, but kind of to focus in on what happened on Saturday, how does an Illinois offense, they've slow starts have been pretty much the biggest consistency for them through the first 5 weeks and had another one, 3 points in the first quarter. And of course you had the Luke Altmyer fumble into the end zone there in that first half. But for an Illinois offense to score 19 points against a Purdue defense that had been averaging 33 points a game allowed. Like, that's a bad defense. At least it had been.
Yes.
And yet they seem to be
aggressive. Number five, Scorpion just was eating us alive.
What happened?
Well, we cannot handle movement on the offensive line. We've seen this the whole time. We saw Kansas move. We saw Penn State move. The defensive line moving, not just trying to play a straight up, moving left and right, stunting. We have a real hard time picking up stunts. And I think no matter how good the play call is, which I think, and even Brett said, he's got to talk to the offensive staff. So Lundy's not off the hook. Bart Miller's not off the hook. Mm-mm. None of them are off the hook. But as good as the play call is, it doesn't matter if you can't block it. And we had 2 touchdowns that we just totally miss.
Yep.
I mean, we had Henry Boyer wide open.
Oh, my goodness.
And just totally overshot him. And then it was a great ball, I thought, to Pat Bryant in Altmyer's defense. That was a great ball. Pat Bryant's got to come down with that. Pat Bryant, I think he's got all the talent. He's got to catch the football.
Yeah.
Isaiah Williams has been a bright spot, leads the Big Ten in receptions and now yards, which is kind of shocking for an offense this bad that we'd have the receiver that does those things. Maybe because we just don't have anybody else.
It was weird. That Boyer thing, that was almost weird. Like, did you guys have this this is a sign of things to come feeling? I mean, because he was so wide open.
Don't we have
well,
that feeling
I'm with
as
you.
A Illini fan?
I'm with you. We were at an establishment, and shocking, right?
It is shocking.
Shocking.
For you, yes.
And it was my boys and I, and we were just sitting there, and Altmaier does that, and out loud, in front of the entire bar, I was like, "Oh my God, Luke! Excuse me, Lord!" But I was just like it was just like I didn't even know I was saying it, and I was like, "Oh my gosh,
that was bad!"
Like you missed him by. He thought he was 30 yards downfield, and Boyer was 12.
It wasn't even close.
No.
It was a bad ball.
Yeah.
And to say the least.
I mean, I give Luke credit, I'm sure, to the point where he's just like, what just happened there?
But, I mean, he bounced back in some ways, but that was a four-point play, basically, because you only got three instead of seven. You go all the way down the field, and it does seem like the first drive, it does seem like there's a little more creativity, a little more counteractions. He kind of had them on their heels. And then we're just they find a weakness in our offensive line and they just pillage it. I mean, just over and over and over and over. And we struggled up front, guys. I mean, really, really bad. Really bad.
Brett Bielema said at halftime that once Purdue figured out where our weaknesses were on that offensive line, they really took advantage of that. And it showed in the second half. Does that surprise you with Ryan Walters, who knows this team as well as anybody?
Well, and Isaiah Williams said they knew exactly what routes he was running. But we should know what Ryan Walters is doing too, right? So it should work both ways. I think you saw Ryan Walters, by his very nature, is a aggressive play caller.
Big time.
Very aggressive compared to what Illinois was trying to do. We're not getting a ton of pass rush, guys. Mm-mm. I mean, it's not great that our two interior guys are our best pass rushers. Usually you'd have some, you know, guy on the edge. I think Coleman and Akis and Alec Brand have combined one sack through five
games.
That's
incredible.
We got to have more production out of them. And it's not like teams haven't tried to throw the ball. We've had a lot of opportunities of people throwing the football all over the yard on us, but worse, for some reason, not getting the pressure we need. And I would say our defensive backs, we are a work in progress. It felt when we were watching this football game that the whole game plan was back shoulder fade. You're either going to catch it or get a pass interference. That's what it felt like with Hudson Card, throwing up to Yassine, throwing up to Deion Burks. Hey, I think Zach Tobe's going to be good. Right now, though, technique wasn't there. P.I. Taz Nicholson, little handsy, got a hold call, right? So all those things add up, and it just was a bad, bad third quarter. And I think for an Illinois fan, on a global perspective, it's like this is why we walk on thin ice all the time.
Yeah.
We don't get excited. We don't get our hopes up. We do. We know we're getting ready for disappointment, right? And that's been so difficult with this team. We've thought that we've got our guy. We're getting our hopes up. It just seems like they're farther away than we thought.
Yeah.
Jay, it's of course easier to say in hindsight now, but I think a kind of a big picture thought that came to mind for me is that the portal cycle last year seems like a pretty big failure, in my opinion. Like, I'm not going to say that Luke Altmaier is not the guy. I think there's still plenty of time. But in hindsight, of course, you'd like to have, knowing how bad this offensive line is, someone to come in and bolster that. Now, they had Avery Jones, who flips to Auburn.
Yeah,
and that's,
ECU guy, yep.
That's one that obviously hurts you. But like defensive backs, I would think, and again, I'm not counting how much NIL money I have to dish out and everything, but coming off a year when you had Witherspoon and Sidney Brown and Quad Martin, seemed like the best time to go in the portal and say, who wants to be the next one of those? Right. And it didn't seem like Illinois brought – they got Clayton Bush and they got a couple other guys, but nobody that really seems to be moving the needle. How much do you think this team just doesn't maybe have those holes now? It seemed like Illinois didn't do a good job of addressing in the offseason. That's one thing that I'm seeing.
So the portal grade's got to be pretty bad for Illinois, like you said. We did a good job of keeping some of our guys that we needed to keep here. I think that's what they kind of trumped up as, hey, this is what we did. We kept the guys that could have gone somewhere or gone to the NFL. We kept them here. They did try to hit the JUCO a little bit. They got one of the top 10 transfer quarterbacks probably out there on the market. So Altmaier, they probably got. I know they probably wanted Hudson Card. They were competitive because I think Hudson Card just went there because the air raid at Purdue. Mm-hmm. But as far as filling the voids that you need, we did not do a good job in the portal at, you know, linebacker at because we have a lot of young linebackers.
We do.
Barnes, right?
We do.
We have the defensive back you mentioned, offensive line. I'd even like to see a quick back. Like, that's not, I mean, Aiden Loffrey's quick, but he's just small, struggling pass protection, right? We don't have a quick back like a Tyrone Tracy. You know, you watch other teams. Like, I was watching Ole Miss LSU on Saturday night.
They make it look so easy.
The offense, there's so much space. I mean, doesn't it? It's just like, oh, throw it here. I mean, you could say they're not playing defense. I get it. It seems like guys are just draped over us, and every yard is like just. It's like the Camargo crawl. It's
yeah, right.
And you watch LSU and Miss Ole Miss, and it's just like guys catching the ball like a little 5 yard route. He jibber jabbers for a 7 yard run.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
It just seems so simple and easy. And then when we watch it, it's just so painful.
How does that compare to the rest of the Big Ten? Big Ten not known outside of Ohio State and obviously Michigan to have a bunch of like SEC level speed. Now, you guys in 07 headlined by yourself and then, you know, really Finn and Juice, Davis, those guys.
Rashard.
How, in comparison to the rest of the conference, does Illinois stack up athletically, speed, explosiveness?
Yeah, good question there. I think in the Big Ten West, we're pretty average. In the West, we're not even close in the East. I mean, you even look at Maryland and their speed and what they have over there. They can throw the rock all over. So I would say there's probably four or five offenses. Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, when they get rolling at some of the positions, that can kind of hit you like that in the Big Ten. Certainly not the level of the SEC and this the style of offenses. But, man, our division is not a great division. And this was the year to do it. And I feel like we're really struggling when we have three or four new coaches in the West, and we just got beat by a first-year head coach. It looked like we were the first-year head coach.
Exactly.
Team.
I mean, are Midwest people that slow?
Well, I will tell you that there was a slang for linebackers that looked like me, and that was they called me the Midwest Mike. Mike is a slang for middle linebacker, so Midwest Mike linebacker. You know, you expose the Midwest. That's what Michael Oxley used to call me all the time. Oh, the Midwest Mike. We got Jay Layman over here. You know, so, I mean, you know, a lot of people call them overachievers, maybe not the best athletes, you know, but that's kind of what a lot of Midwest guys are. Yeah. You find a lot of those guys in Wisconsin and Iowa, even in Illinois, but I would say Wisconsin and Iowa are the true overachieving, you know, good old Midwest boys. Kind of programs, and we kind of aspire to be like them. We're not even close right now. I thought we were them last year because we beat them, but the consistency they've had is beating the consistency we've had all day.
Well, if you're not fast, you better be physical, and this team's not that
right.
Ooh, not winning that.
That's a little mic drop there.
Type of way.
One thing I will say this, you know, in 06, even when we weren't that good, we lost lost a lot of games in 06. We were close. We led the Big Ten in rushing in 06 and 07. People don't realize that. You know, we were running the ball on people. We could at least do that. We had some issues throwing the football.
Right.
But you could hang your hat on, hey, we can run the football on anybody. And if we can shore up some other things, you can have a consistent winner. We don't have any of that right now. But you know who is consistent? Iroquois Federal. For all of your lending needs, our title sponsor here. We had a lot to complain about today, so it took us 20 minutes to get to you. But you don't have to complain about Iroquois Federal or all your lending needs. Got to talk to Bob Guido. Bob's a legend in the lending community, along with Ryan Lowry, Mike McHale, and, of course, Brenda Crane. For all your lending needs, located in Savoy and, of course, in Champaign, Iroquois Federal. Also, you got to reach out to Kyle for your insurance. Kyle at IPGINS.com. That's Kyle for IPG Insurance, Auto, Home, Life, Habitational. He's a one-stop shop for all of your insurance needs. And do not forget the fried pickles at Long Branch.
Mm.
They are the killer when it comes to, in a good way, and it comes to your apps. Wednesday through Saturday, 5 to 9 p.m. in beautiful downtown, as Lon would say, eclectic Gifford.
Yes.
Say hi to our friend Donnie. Get yourself a tomahawk steak.
I want to encourage everybody to send in your questions, 359-2255, 217-359-2255, U of I, Illini Lake text line. Jay, I guess when I come back, now obviously we're so close to the program, I feel like you either need to come into a season and just burn it down and say, they're not going to be good, we know what Illinois football is. But I came in way too optimistic, and maybe the signs were there not to be that, right? Maybe a new quarterback, you lost all those guys to the NFL, you lost a guy in Chase Brown that ran for how many yards? I mean, 1,600 or whatever yards. You lost a couple of offensive linemen. So maybe the signs were obviously there, and I just decided not to look at those signs and say, no, the West isn't that good. I think Illinois can still win 7 or 8 games. So when we come back, I want to ask you, did we just simply overlook the idea of all of those things combined? And maybe this program is still in decent shape because the guys we're talking about, I mean, you've got some young kids at the wide receiver spot that I think could be really good. You've got Caden Fagan. Josh McCray's still young. Fagan's still young. I mean, you've got guys coming back there. You hope that you have some depth on that offensive line that they've slowly put together, these guys like Whitnick and these guys that are just bigger, that maybe by their junior year they can kind of come in and dominate kind of like that offensive line. I mean, let's don't forget, there were guys on that offensive line last year that had played 6 years essentially.
Well, this is a big topic. We'll touch on it. I know we got to go to break, but I will touch on that because I think what we're hitting into is we had these super seniors.
Yes.
But remember, we have a whole lull of bad recruiting between 18, 19, and 20.
Mm-hmm.
That's just now coming to roost in some of our lack of depth in veteran players under Lovey. People weren't committing to Lovey. You knew he was going to be gone.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so Lovey had a great class, that 2017 class. Obviously had a ton of talent. They stayed 5 or 6 years, played a bunch of football.
Yes, they did.
And this is what we see with Illinois football. You play these guys young, probably too young they're supposed to play. By the time they're juniors and seniors, they can play with anybody in the country. Those guys leave 2007, 2001, 2022, and then there's a huge void.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we have people that weren't recruited that great, that were not great, highly talented recruits, but don't have the experience to make up for that lack of recruiting.
Got it.
Right?
Got it.
So those other guys might have been lower-rated guys, but they had, 50 games of experience. Well, I'm going to be pretty good about 50 games of experience.
Exactly.
So I think all that plays into it. Our text line is blown up today. We love it. We are going to hit you guys up when we get back from the break.
Perfect.
217-359-2255 for you to weigh in on the U of I Illini Link text line. Stick with us. This is The Drive.
Fighting Illini football is back in Champaign as they take on the Nebraska Cornhuskers in Memorial Stadium Friday night, October 6th at 7 p.m. It's our Celebrate Food and Ag game. Bring the family for a special petting zoo area inside Grange Grove with animals to interact with Illini fans and kids. See you at Memorial Stadium for Fighting Illini football's Big Ten matchup against Nebraska. Friday night under the lights on October 6th. Get tickets at FightingIllini.com.
Hey, where are you headed?
To Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola.
What do they have there?
What don't they have there? Living room furniture, benches, chests, love seats, sectionals, tables, bedroom sets, hutches, nightstands, end tables, cabinets, mirrors, stools, clocks, lamps, pillows, rugs, desks, media consoles, patio furniture, Tempur-Pedic mattresses, and more.
So, everything.
Yeah, probably could have just said that.
Kelsey Furniture, quality for less.
Since Busey Bank first opened our doors in 1868, we have built upon a tradition of close relationships and broad financial capabilities. Our experienced team provides the highest level of personalized service to ensure we accomplish your goals, simplifying your wealth management and business lending needs, and ensuring a legacy for generations. Building business, growing wealth, since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
As Tapman's Towing celebrates 50 years of serving Central Illinois, we're always seeking good people to serve our great customers. Our team of expert tow professionals would like to interview others with CDLs, previous tow experience, or a strong interest in serving others. If you enjoy serving people, love working in the outdoors, and looking for a career, not just a job, we should talk soon. Do you have a strong desire but lack the experience? We should still talk. Visit our career page at tapmanstowing.com.
Let Max Twin City Recycling pay you for your junk metal items. As the weather begins to heat up, now is a great time to put cash in your pocket for the steel, copper, brass, and aluminum items you've been meaning to get rid of. We've recently added a large concrete pad to make unloading quicker and cleaner for our customers. Visit us on North Lincoln Avenue, just north of I-74, or at maxrecycling.com.
Football fans, plan to party at Pia's before, after, and during games as you get on the watch parties with great prizes and giveaways during the fourth quarter on special game days. Get 5 bottles in the Coors Light bucket for $16.75 or enjoy the $8.95 pitcher special on Illini game days. It's $5 for Blue Moon drafts and Jack Daniels drinks. Murder your thirst with liquid death water and CBD products. Pia's is the place to party, 1609 West Springfield Avenue in Champaign.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Before we get to back to Jay Layman and all of your texts in the U of I Atlanta text line, I got to tell you about Busey. Busey is proud to give back to its communities by doing the right thing for customers and building trusted relationships that span generations. In 2021 and 2022, Busey Associates generously gave over 20,000 hours of their time to hundreds of community organizations. Nearly 200 associates actively commit to board service in their communities. And get this, Busey Associates have raised more than $450,000 through the Pay It Forward Fridays payroll deduction initiative since its inception in 2015. They also have contributed to a bunch of scholarships, over $258,000 in scholarships through that footprint as well. For more information about Busey's volunteer initiatives and charitable campaigns, check out Busey's 2022 Impact Report. Go to busey.com/impact. Also a great place to set up appointments to get seen at their very convenient locations. Busey, member FDIC.
There's not one Scorpion song that can wipe away the disgusting,
I'm trying to cheer you up,
taste that I had from this
weekend. I didn't even know that was Scorpions. All I knew that Rocky Like a Hurricane was the Scorpions, right? That's the only one I knew, but and not my era.
This is the best, The Zoo. This is their best song. This is the best song. Yeah, I mean, I've just got a bad taste in my mouth from everything that occurred this weekend.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, just.
I don't blame you.
You're not even a Bears fan.
No, but I want the Bears to win because I want the Cardinals to have draft picks. So yeah, in a weird way, I am a Bears fan this year, and I flip the channel because they're up like 14, and I'm thinking, all right. And then I see a text from one of our buddies that included a tweet that said, with the Bears losing, and I'm like, whoa, is this old? Like, the Bears didn't lose that game.
Currently have the top two draft
picks.
Yes,
you do. Good for you.
I mean,
the Cardinals are going
to be painful.
I mean, the Houston Texans are going to make the playoffs, so we're going to end up.
They look good, man.
We're going to get like.
I'm jealous of watching Houston Texans football.
Cardinals are going to have like the 5th and 19th pick when I thought it would be 1st and 2nd. All right. Brett Bielema, after the game, had a take on this offensive line. I know our buddy Jeremy Warner asked Brett the question.
Brett, you said a couple times now, looking for our identity on offense. How do you go about addressing?
I think we got to have some hard conversations, with the coaches. And I can, decide all we want. I've tried to put it in their hands, but I think as a head coach, I got to decide what our identity is and enforce it that way. And I know that we're, obviously short a little bit at certain positions, but I like our wide receiver core. I like our running back core. I like the tight ends where they're at. We got to give our quarterback a chance. I think what we can do is look at what we're doing offensive line-wise, what we're asking those guys to do. And I know what we want to do, but sometimes you got to make the decision, is it something we ask our guys to do? And if they can't do it, do we eliminate it and find another option? Because obviously the one that we're trying to use isn't working.
Thoughts?
Well, I think what I love about Brett after a game is he's pretty honest.
Yeah.
He likes every group on his team except the offensive line.
That's got to be killing him.
Okay. That he's like, I like our receivers. I like our running backs. I like our tight ends. I think the tight ends actually been the most impressive group of the whole team. Just other than Johnny and Keith, who have made some plays. Keith made some plays. I saw Keith make a lot of plays during the game. So I want to give that. But yeah. What I like is that he was honest about it. Going to have some tough conversations with some coaches. I guarantee a Sunday like that, a Sunday after that, it is tough. I mean, you lost by 25. It's brutal. There's a lot of hard conversations. But let's not forget, Brett's getting paid, what, $6-7 million?
Yeah, a lot of money.
Barry's getting paid $800,000?
Probably more than that, I think. Nah.
I mean, these guys are getting paid, and so there's a scrutiny.
Yep.
They know they're not performing up to standard, and they know that this cannot be tolerated because it won't be tolerated. Well, it'll be tolerated here a lot longer than other places. But I saw one text say, hey, Brett didn't come here to be your 5-7. Did he come here to be 2-10? I think that's a little harsh.
I do too.
But the point is, this is not acceptable, mm-hmm. and I understand that.
How would you grade? I think people are asking right now on both coordinators, but let's, while we're talking offensively, Barry Lunney through this season, what's not going well and what he's doing to fix that or not fix it.
See, the hard thing about offense that I is all about execution. Defense is about knocking a brother out. I shouldn't say knocking somebody out, but you know what I mean, right? It's flying around. It's being physical. It's, there's only one stat that really matters, I think, in defense. A lot of them go into it, and that's scoring defense.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's 12.8 points a game. That's what we had last year, is scoring defense.
It's 30 now.
It's like 32, right? It's something huge. I mean, you can talk about first downs or get off the field on third down. You could talk about turnovers, and those all contribute to it. But there's really one stat that really matters, and that's scoring defense. When it comes to offense, I would make the argument there's only one stat that really matters. That's scoring offense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could say all these things contribute into it. But in order to score, it's essential that you execute. The onus in football of execution is on the offense. The advantage is that they know where the ball's going. They have a play. Defensively, you have to make up for that with aggression, scheme, physicality, because you can move before the snap, right? They cannot move before the snap. But the execution onus, you can get wide open. You still have to catch the ball.
Sure.
You still have to throw the ball. You still have to protect. So offense is execution. On an execution level, we're at about a D right now, offensively. On a play calling level, as far as are we putting ourselves in the best position for where we're at, I give us a C. I think that the plays haven't been as bad as the execution. I think there's been times, two plays in Purdue, wide open.
Yeah.
We didn't execute.
Right.
Right.
I think in the red zone, we're way better executing than we were last year. That was an issue. I think they've improved in that. I also think when it comes to execution, we don't know what our number one thing is we can hang our hat. Can we give the ball to a guy 30 times this year like he did Chase? No, we can't. So we got to find something else of what our thing is.
Right.
On fourth and one, can we do a QB sneak? Doesn't seem like it. Tom Dito picked up like 8 first downs last year doing QB sneaks. We're not doing that. So I think the calls have been better than the execution. Does that make sense?
No, that's fair.
And so I would say that the offensive coordinator is in charge of everything.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, largely during the game, it's about the calls. And I don't think the calls were necessarily half bad. I mean, in some games you'd say a B, some games you could say maybe an A. I think the execution has been really, really poor. And that's not just players, because the coaches are coaching the players how to execute it. You know, with drills and scrimmages and games, the execution on offense has been poor. That's what it is. Blocking, poor.
Horrible.
Horrible. Horrible. Catching the football?
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Bad.
Mm-hmm.
This is not peewee. These are college athletes, some of them getting paid. Bad.
Yeah.
Turning the ball over? Bad at sometimes. Errant throws? Bad. The execution. So I want to make a separation. It's not just all play calling. A lot of it is execution.
Yeah.
And I would think that Barry Lunney and even Aaron Henry would give themselves C's if they're 2-3.
Yes. I would agree with that.
Right?
Now, one other stat that I think is huge is time of possession. And especially in the West. Like, I feel like you can do well in the West if you possess the ball quite a bit, let your defense rest.
It's what everybody does in the West.
That's exactly right. So
right. That
is one thing that Illinois is not doing that well either this season.
Sure.
And I guess, so my question is, when Brett Bielema says after the game, we're going to have some hard discussions, and he basically said, I guess as the head coach, I'm going to have to kind of force the situation as to what identity we're going to have. Does that not tell you that this is going to be against Nebraska? You're going to see about 50 runs out of this team. I mean, if there's one way Brett Bielema is going to lean, if he's the one that goes into these meetings yesterday and says, all right, it's my team now, I'm taking control of this offensive, and we are going to have an identity for the rest of the season,
right?
Don't you think that leans more on we're going to run the hell out of these running backs?
I think so. I don't think we have a dynamic running back.
No,
but I do think that Caden Fagan is going to get more reps. I think that that's where Brett's going to lead to. I think we're going to see more tight ends on the field. I think we'll see Henry Boyer on the field with Tip Ryman. I think we'll see Griffin Moore. I think we'll see 13 personnel. That's 3 tight ends, 1 receiver. I think it's going to be hard for you to take Isaiah Williams off the field because he's your best playmaker. Maybe you spot him a couple after he does the punt return.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Bryant has not played, other than the first game, has not played at the level I think Pat Bryant can play at. He would say the same thing. So I've always loved what my coaches told me, and Coach Zook always told us, listen, if you claim you're an All-American, you got to make All-American plays.
Yeah.
If you're an A-plus player, make A-plus plays in A-plus games. So if you don't do that, we can't treat you that way. And so I do think they're going to run the football more. I would, but even some of these other plays, like we see some counteraction in the first drives from Barry Lunny. Counters, by their very nature, take longer to develop
mm-hmm.
because I'm faking one way
right.
and going the other way. A lot of times, as the game goes on, we can't even develop a counter play because we can't protect long enough or block long enough. So there's a whole span of the playbook because we've gotten behind, too, that Barry hasn't been able to call.
That's a great point.
He hasn't been able to call a lot of these games the way he probably wants to call and get the time of possession. See, time of possession is one of those things that kind of snowballs one way or the other.
Fair.
I have really good success on first and second down. I'm probably going to run the ball on third down, keep the clock rolling. I don't have success. I have a third down pass. I either get incomplete or I complete it and I get the first down, or I don't complete it and it's not a first down. I'm kicking the ball away. So right. It kind of snowballs on it. And if I can't get off the field on third down defensively, which we have not been able to get off the field on third down, okay, I think Purdue was 8 of 15 against us on third down. We were 2 of 12 or 3 of 12 or something like that on the money down. So the third down is that big swing down for time of possession.
Defensively, Jay, Aaron Henry, first-time defensive coordinator. We all wondered what that was going to look like. Also the fact of a challenge replacing a lot of that secondary, if not all of it. But there were some advantages built in, at least we thought. Having a first-round caliber draft pick and Johnny Newton, Keith Randolph, and all Big Ten caliber type of guy. And then I thought that bringing in Jim Leonard, my first thing was, all right, who's a better mentor out there than Jim Leonard being in there through the week? So far, the results aren't really there. How much criticism needs to be on Aaron Henry for what's not going right defensively?
So this is a great, great point. First off, the buck stops at Brett Bielema.
Right.
Brett, he promoted Aaron. He brought in Barry Lunny. And he knows that. At the end of the day, when you're the head coach, you make that much money. These decisions are big deals, and that's why he's getting in the room and having tough, tough conversations.
Absolutely.
We also have three former coordinators and Aaron Henry on that staff. Jim Leonard's his analyst. Andy Boo was a coordinator at Maryland. And Brett Bielema has been a coordinator at multiple institutions, Kansas State and Wisconsin. So there's a lot of stuff going into the brain trust here. I think, though, that we saw in very similar defenses, we saw a different level of aggression from Ryan Walters than we did Aaron Henry. Mm-hmm. I think, like anything, I start something new. First radio show I do, first TV thing I do, I got a lot to learn.
Sure.
Right? And so I think there's definitely some lumps to take. The problem is in college football, in big-time college football, you don't have time to take lumps. Right? Especially in this day and age.
Nope.
I mean, like, Bill McCartney, back when he rebuilt Colorado, had like something like 6 wins the first 3 years.
Yeah. Barry Alvarez had some time.
Yeah, I had some time. There is not a ton of time. Like, it's transfer portal, condensed time frames. I think Aaron Henry... Is he partially to blame? Sure. Are there players partially to blame? Yes. Aaron Henry would tell you, man, I haven't called my best games yet. I'm learning more about this football team. But I'm not just ready to say, oh, we don't need Aaron Henry. He's 5 games
right,
into it.
Right.
I think he's a young defensive coordinator. He brings a lot of value as a recruiter. Seems like the guys love him.
Yeah.
And Brett has a lot of confidence in him. And Brett has developed a lot more head coaches than me, you, or Lon.
Yeah, good call.
So it's like, we got to trust the guy. And I think why we had this confidence coming in is we had all these questions about it. But, oh, wait, we got Brett. We have confidence in Brett. It's like Alabama. It's like, oh, my gosh, we lose our whole roster. Or Georgia, we had 10 draft picks this year. Oh, but wait, we got Kirby, who's recruiting like crazy.
Yep.
Oh, we got Nick Saban at Alabama. Like, I'm not saying our faith is like that, but we have definitely more faith in Brett than we had in Tim Beckman, Bill Kubit, and Lovie combined.
Amen to
which
that.
Which is more than we've had, right? So, I mean, I think we were able to overlook some of that, and I still think that Brett's going to get it right. I just don't know if it's going to be in the time frame that we all want, because we kind of had a tease of it in year two, and we were pleasantly surprised, and now we're going backwards, it seems like.
One more defense-specific question I want to ask before we maybe go bigger picture, look at the game upcoming this Friday against Nebraska. Gabe Backus, it's a tough one because everybody is kind of perplexed by it. A guy that going into the season, we might have said, is he going to be the next Simeon Rice? Is he going to be in the NFL here in 2 years type of thing? He's pretty much been non-existent outside really of one sack against Penn State. What are you seeing with that?
And here's the thing. I think Seth Coleman is just as good an athlete as maybe Gabe. Maybe not as thick as Gabe. And Alec Bryant, former four-star guy, Virginia Tech transfer. All three of those guys need to have more production.
Yeah, they look the part.
They're part of the all-bus team. They look good coming off the bus. I was not on that team. Ohio State's full starting lineup is always on that team. They look great coming off the bus. And those Michigan offensive linemen, when I played against them,
goodness.
They were huge. As my East Coast friends, they always forget the H. Huge.
Udge.
Huge. But I would say this, all-bus team. I really like Gabe. I like Seth. I like these guys. And I thought, you know, out of those, Seth, Alec, Gabe, I think you're planning on, you're going to give me one sack a game, 12 sacks over the year. I think that's a very fair thing to ask, you know, a guy. Shoot, Khalil Mack had six. I'm not saying these guys are Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack had six in a game. We've had one in five games.
That's crazy.
And not like teams haven't thrown the ball on us. And teams are throwing the ball downfield. I know we had mobile quarterbacks for two of those first five games. It didn't help get more pressure.
Sometimes they run into you.
Hey, you get lucky, right?
Right.
And I would say this, especially with guys like Johnny and Keith on the interior, where you have to really block them with one or two guys, you should be getting favorable matchups.
I want you to tell us about your sponsors, and then I'm going to ask you a big picture question.
Okay, love it. Iroquois Federal, for all your lending needs, you got to talk to Iroquois Federal. Bob Guido is a lending legend here in town. You need a commercial loan, commercial line of credit, you got to talk to Bob Guido. Also, Ryan Lowry, Mark McHale, Brenda Crane, that whole team in Savoy or Champaign, check out their branches, Iroquois Federal, your one-stop shop for all your lending needs. Kyle Lewis, IPG Insurance, Auto, Home, Life, Habitational. He does all my rental properties. He has the best rates. I love Kyle Lewis, and he's got great service. Kyle at IPGINS.com. And, of course, the Long Branch Steakhouse. If you need to go get a steak dinner, why don't you try out the Long Branch Steakhouse in Gifford? It is a one-of-a-kind experience. Even my kids love it because they got great kids' menus. They get free ice cream with their kids' meal. They get a free drink, and they love the fried appetizers. You got to try it out.
A ribeye sounds so good right now. A Monday ribeye sounds
I mean, I've told the ribeye story on this many times, haven't I?
Well, I think.
I've heard it,
it's
but
a legendary
it's a very, very good ribeye
story. So you know, I know you got a question, so we'll get to that.
Good.
But you know, I grew up with three brothers, and we always had football season in August, and Happy would say, listen, boys, we're going out to get some steak. It was a treat to get steak. And you were telling me your goals for the football season. And we would go to Alexander Steakhouse.
Oh.
God rest his soul. It was a good place. Not a Long Branch, but it was good, right? And you would cook your own steak and stuff, which some people thought, well, I thought it was kind of cool, you know? So we would go there, and he would say, boys, there's no better cut than the top sirloin. So we would get the top sirloin. Every time we get the top sirloin. Okay? They had four boys he was feeding. So then I go on my recruiting visit to Illinois. We go to the ribeye, another great steak institution in town. And they give me a ribeye. I'm like, these cheap guys in Illinois. If I was at Michigan, they would give me
a top sirloin.
They would give me a top sirloin. Everybody knows that's the best cut. So I eat my ribeye. It wasn't until I was out of college that I realized that a top sirloin was a pretty low-grade cut. So I went back to my desk and why? I said, dude, I had four boys. I was broke on a pastor's salary. And you guys wanted to get steak for your football game goal, so I got you guys top sirloin. I don't think I've had top sirloin since because ribeye's way better. But there you go.
Just wait till your kids get older.
There you go. You'll give the happy steak better. Yeah, we go. Eat up, boys.
Here's some cube steak for you.
Yeah.
Eat up. Hey, I love cube steak, by the way. All right, so big picture. I asked you earlier in the show, did we overlook a lot of things? I think there's a sector of our listeners that certainly when this season started said, all right, Lon, you're smoking something to have eight wins. Or, you know, even, but I still think you can beat Nebraska and Northwestern and Indiana. There's five wins,
we
right?
We could.
I still think.
But the way we play, I don't know if
they're saying the same thing.
Yeah, right. They're saying the same thing. That's exactly right.
Sure.
So you look at this big picture and you start looking at yourself like, we lost a lot of stuff this last year.
Sure.
Well, I mean, I don't have to go through the list. Everybody knows the list, what you lost. this coming season, you're going to lose Johnny Newton and Keith Randolph, which are two huge misses, don't get me wrong. And I think Tayrae Edwards might be gone too as a nose tackle. So your defensive line, obviously something you got to replace. You're going to lose Tyreek Barnes.
Yep.
I think Taz is back, right? I think most of your secondary would be back. And then offensively, you're losing Julian Pearl, which will obviously be a big one. And I think Zai and Isaiah, maybe?
Isaiah, for sure. Zai might have an option for a third year. I'm not sure, though, on that.
So when I say those names, and obviously taking nothing away from Johnny Newton and Keith Randolph, who are NFL guys.
Sure.
But when I say those names, you're not losing as much as you did this past season coming into this season. You've got Luke Altmyer, who just started for the first time ever, and he shows signs. He also shows some things that you're like...
Lack of experience.
Yeah, lack of experience. By the way, he's going to join us at 4:05. We'll ask him about that. So can we still be bullish? I'm not giving up yet on this season. I mean, this Nebraska game will probably... could turn me a little bit back in favor of this, but certainly Saturday really, really cautioned me for the rest of the season and put a bad note on this season. But, you know, you still got Nebraska coming and you still got some winnable games down the road. But can we still be a little bit bullish on this program in the next couple of years? In other words, that maybe idiots like me were way too optimistic about this season with what you lost, but yet you still have some talent here and you have some youth like Malik Elzey and Hollins and some of these guys that'll grow.
Well, I think that's a good point. I still think Brett is the guy to build this program.
Yes.
I haven't changed that. I think you look at his pedigree from what he did at Iowa, from what he did at Wisconsin and K-State, and even some of his success at Arkansas in a really tough division. I would say he's still the guy. I think we're losing faith a little bit in this season because we keep saying, okay, well, if we get these next two, then we'll be back to 4-3. And that's not what you want to do. You want to build momentum week to week in that regard.
Amen.
Now, the strength of his team has been the offensive line usually. There's not one offensive line other than Geske, Lovey recruited Julian Pearl. He also recruited Josh Kreutz,
right?
Jordan Slaughter. Mm-hmm. A lot of these guys are Lovey guys. And so we don't have one freshman guy that's come in. We've had Isaiah Adams and Zai Chrysler. We haven't had one freshman guy that's kind of gotten to the point where, okay, I'm an offensive. We've seen some of the skill guys.
Yeah.
We're happy with Fagan. We think he's going to be a good player. We think Malik Elzey is going to be a player. Matthew Bailey is a good player. Sabor Kareem looks like to be a good player. Looks like Zach Toby's going to be able to play. It seems like we've got some guys that they've gotten, but we haven't seen the bread and butter of the linemen really come to fruition,
right,
offense or defensive line, for what Brett is. So there's reason to be optimistic. It's just hard when you play a team that's 1-3, that not won a game at home, and you get beat by 25.
Just rolled.
That it's hard to be optimistic.
It is.
When you have that. We got tons of guys in the text line. I really appreciate them texting. Yeah. I mean, there is tons. I mean, Big Def is a guy. We'll say one of his because he's probably got seven texting. He says, Jay, you have a lot of faith about Friday. Nebraska's front seven are very good. I don't know if I have a lot of faith. Oh, that's Jason Ron. Sorry. And they have two QBs who can like to run. Listen, they can run the ball.
Yes, they can.
They actually led the Big Ten in rushing defense until they played Michigan, who gave up 249. Big Def says, Jay, I'm going for the ever-elusive lean bulk in the gym and diet. Top soy helps me for that. Also, it takes about 14 seconds to cook it medium rare. Amen.
847 asked about the recruiting. How big will that game impact recruiting? I know that Ryan Walters is the guy that's going to recruit Illinois hard, the state of Illinois, and they had some Illinois guys there to watch that. And certainly, if you're there watching that, you're thinking, well, it seems like Purdue, which has now beaten us, four straight years or at least three?
Yeah, four straight years, seven in the last eight.
Okay.
The only time we beat them was in a monsoon.
They've dominated us. They've won 15 of the last 21 games.
That's bad.
So you look at that and you're like, well, all right, I think I'm going to lean towards Purdue, right? I mean, I think that game can impact recruiting.
I think it definitely impacts. We are recruiting against the same people as Purdue, Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan State, Minnesota, Nebraska to a degree, but really those neighboring states, we are really recruiting against those guys, and we're simply not having a very good showing right now. When we felt like we were building some momentum in the recruiting with our winning and whatnot, I think that's the big question, and we've seen this. When it goes downhill at Illinois, Zook was unable to recruit at the same level he had the first, second, third, fourth year when he was building something, right? And we had tons of guys come, whether it was Aurelius Ben, Vontae Davis, and then after that, Corey Legit, A.J. Jenkins. I mean, there were some Michael LaShore.
No doubt.
Really good players that came in there because of that. After that, on the back end, it was tougher.
Let's just go to the top. I was going to say, let's catch a quick break. But let's just go all the way through. We want to get you as much Jay Layman analysis as possible. If you've got any final questions, 217-359-2255. Jay, as you look at the Nebraska game, what stands out? You mentioned defensively they look pretty stout. Offensively, it's been an issue, but they can run it. What is your overall thoughts on this game on Friday? How would you look at it in terms of forecasting? Do you think Illinois will win it, or is it going to be a tough one to pull
off? First of all, Nebraska is not good. It's a total to the studs rebuild. Like, you think that Colorado beat Nebraska is a big deal? Nebraska is not good. Yeah. Like, I've watched two or three of their games. I've analyzed all first of their five games with Big Ten Network. They're not good. Jeff Sims is no longer the quarterback. Heinrich Harburg is. Great German name. Heinrich Harburg.
I like
it. And the guy's been running the rock. I'll give him that. Didn't run much against Michigan. It was kind of locked down. They're running kind of old school option every now and then because they can't really do anything else. But at least they're known for something. Now, defensively, they've been more stout. They got Luke Reimer, who's pretty solid. Their defensive line has some really good players on it. They led the nation, the Big Ten, rather, in rush defense. So I think it's going to be tough to run the football on them. It's going to come down to Luke Altmyer, and can we protect? I don't think we match up particularly well. I actually think we have better athletes than Nebraska. One of the few teams I think was, hey, we have an athletic edge. But, man, the way we played on Saturday, we won't.
No. If you play like that, you're not beating Nebraska.
You might not beat Indiana that way.
Right, exactly. Man.
And Maryland looks really good in 2 weeks.
Oh, you're not beating Maryland. I can tell you right now.
We're going to talk to Luke Altmyer at the top of next hour. What do you need to see from him in the next coming weeks to show the type of progress that it would take for Illinois to make that chase for a bowl game?
So first off, it's really hard to play quarterback when you're running for your life. I mean, we had 5 sacks, but he's had pressure all the time. And I think it's really difficult. I think he's got to focus on the plays that he can make and limit the mistakes. It was a mistake to hold on to that football and run the opposite way on that corner blitz and fumble that ball. Mm-hmm. It was a mistake. Some of the mistakes he made in Penn State. He's been holding on to the ball a little bit longer, which has increased the sacks because he doesn't want to throw picks. I think they've got to have manageable throws for Luke, then let him uncork it. He's still an inexperienced QB.
Sure.
7 starts. He's kind of thrown into the fire. He doesn't have a run game, and we have a lot of third downs that everybody knows the pass is coming. We don't have a lot of third and twos, a lot of third and threes. And when the offensive line isn't good, nobody looks good on the offense. So I think Luke's going to get there. Do I think Luke has a chance to be a really good quarterback by the time he's gone here? Yeah, I do.
I do too.
I just think he doesn't have a ton of time. And other than Isaiah Williams, has not had consistent weapons. I would love to see him hit the tight end more. I mean, Tips played well. Griffin's played more.
I agree. Okay, 30-second question, then we'll get to your sponsors. Can this offensive line be fixed this year?
From what I've seen, no.
No.
Not to the level that we want to see.
That's why we're bringing 3 tight ends, right?
No.
No.
Can it? That was on point. I wish I could tell you that, yes, we can fix everything. But Brett himself said, I don't see me bringing any more bodies than what we currently have there. Those guys that are playing have earned the right to play because they're the best to play. Mm. And we've got Geske, who's banged up. Chrysler, who is banged up, left on a cart in the game, by the way. So can it be fixed? I mean, we're talking about 7-8 weeks to fix this thing. That's it. We don't have a lot of time.
I mean, I'd rather see Henderson in. I'd rather see some of these other kids. And although that could be even more dangerous.
Well, here's the thing. This is what we do. We like, okay, I went the old, put all the young bucks in. We're going to have one good year in 2028. And then it's going to start. I think we're trying to get more consistent. I'm not ready to throw it all. I know you're joking
about
that.
You're right.
And I know Henderson's a highly touted guy. I just think we've got a lot to work on.
We do.
Not our sponsors, though. Iroquois Federal for all your lending needs. Kyle at IPG Insurance, Kyle at IPGINS.com. And, of course, Long Branch Steakhouse. Those are our wonderful sponsors for this Jay Layman Hour.
Great hour.
As always.
Luke Altmyer coming up. We're going to talk to him about some of the things that happened Saturday and what he has to look forward to going in the future here, including a quick game on Friday. This is the second time they've had one of these, so we'll see how they handle it a second time for sure.
Brett Bielema spoke to the media today as well. We'll get you that before we get out of here. Jay, thanks as always. Great stuff.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, buddy.
We'll look forward to talking to you next Monday.
Next Monday, hopefully after that big win over them Huskers.
Let's go.
We can only hope. We need it. Stick with us. Run away and you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta League text line. This is The Drive.
Like every bank, there's a time every day when we stop making loans. But at Iroquois Federal, we never stop making a difference. Thanks to an amazing team of employees who give back to their local communities all over Central Illinois. From hospital boards and local school programs to Kiwanis and the United Way, Iroquois Federal employees donated more than 1,000 volunteer hours last year. And we'll do it again next year, because the only thing we like more than making a loan is making a difference. Iroquois Federal. Still friendly, still local, still here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.